From the Word of God this morning, from John, the 20th chapter, the 30th and 31st verse. The purpose of John's gospel is this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
100 years. That's a long time. That seems like an eternity. And yet it's such a short time. 100 years ago, this Wednesday, a formal agreement was established between the Methodist Episcopal Church and the Boy Scouts of America. We have been associated for 100 years with the Scouting movement as a church, as a denomination, even through changes when we became united. That original relationship started with James V. Thompson, who was at that time the superintendent of Young People's Study Sunday School, and between James E. West, who was the scout chief of the BSA. That was in 1910, in 1920. In 1910, scouting had originally been recognized in America, but before that, there were scout units in America. There were scout units in the Methodist Church. One of the first, according to United Methodist Men's site, was at Grace Methodist in Delaware, Ohio. The Reverend L. Eugene Rush had a boys group called the East Side Gang. And their goal was to try to keep the young men out of trouble. And he became familiar with the scouting movement. And Reverend Rush took and wrote to Baden Powell in England, the founder of scouting in England, and requested that they become part of that movement. In return, Baden Powell sent them a charter in 1908 that made that first troop a part of the British scouting movement. So our first troops in the Methodist Church in 1908 and 1909 were actually chartered as members of the British scouting movement. Then in 1910, when scouting was recognized by Congress and chartered, and when scouting became BSA, the Boy Scouts of America, those units transferred over. And that troop that had been that troop in Delaware, Ohio, became Troop 1 in Ohio. And in every council, there is a Troop 1 in all 50 states and Puerto Rico and wherever scouting is, including the Transatlantic Conference over in Europe. So that's part of the history, of that 100-year history. Currently, scouting programs come under the Center for Scouting Ministries, which is in Nashville, of the General Commission on UM Men, and that takes the lead in nurturing scouting ministries and programs. Some interesting figures, well, they are to me, is currently there are 3,111 congregations that support scouting movement. There are 9,611 current charters to those churches. And the Youth Ministry of Scouting is serving 309,739 youth. Historically, that's going to change in the next 2 weeks. Mr. Robert up here is my new scoutmaster for Troop 2082. A year ago, when BSA decided that they were going to have and allow girls into what traditionally was the Boy Scouts, we had this administrative deal where the girls, while they will be working with Troop 82 through Mr. Robert, they will be a separate unit. We'll have girls' units and boys' units. So we will probably be the first, as far as I know, congregation to support all three units within this Methodist district I know. That's historical. It may not seem historical to most of you, but if you've been around or involved with scouting, it is historical that we are leading the way. I'm excited about it. I hope you are. But what does this all have to do with the scripture today? What it has to do with the scripture is you now have a piece of the story behind what we're doing in scouting here. You're all invited any Monday night you want to come and observe, as I have from kindergartners to seniors in high school involved in our three units. And yes, it's like any youth program. It's noisy, it's loud, it's active. But they're doing great things. Miss Gwen up here is my cub master, and she's also a den leader. And they have built birdhouses. They are working on donations as a project to, we'll have barrels out front here shortly, to collect for God's food pantry. You know, we should do the collection for Eastern Kentucky. We can do that. We'll make that a project for our units to start that collection process, Pastor Chris, if that's okay. A1, okay. Here's the thing. Scouting is about serving. How's this all tied to John? How's it tied to John's testimony? It ties in this way, that behind everything that is going on, as Paul Harvey, the old commentator, used to say, there's more to the story. Now you know the rest of the story. Now you know part of the rest of the story of the history of scouting in the Methodist Church. But here's the thing. How many of you have a story? I want you to think about John. John was a young man when Christ declared he was the beloved disciple. John was a young man when Christ made him part with his brother and Peter of the inner circle of the disciples. We believe somewhere in his teens, probably. When John wrote his gospel, it's estimated it was between 90 and 100 AD. And here's the thing about John. He had spent the time of Jesus' ministry with Jesus. But now he was old. And sometimes when you get old, you think back and what was really important in my life? What was my story? What was my thing that I need to share with the world? And of course, John shared his gospel. He shared the fact that I got to look at these guys a minute because I've got some of you know I'm an old cop and people sitting behind me, you know, you wonder what their expressions are. I'll look at the tape later. But John shared that gospel. These are the things he said that are important that you know Christ. Let me ask you a question. And here's the question for each of us. How do we share our story? Because we have a story. We have a relationship with Christ like John did. And our responsibility is to share that. The most powerful tool for evangelism, as great as he was not Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, any of the great evangelists. The greatest tool for spreading the kingdom of Christ is all of you. And we call that personal testimony. And that's what John's saying in his gospel. This is my testimony of what was important, though there was a whole lot more. This is my testimony of what's important so that you can have a relationship with Christ and understand that relationship. Each one of us here has a story. Some of you know I'm a storyteller, and sometimes you have to kind of cut me off, and that's okay. But here's the thing. What is your story, and how are you sharing that story to build the kingdom? That's a question. How are we sharing that story? Are we sharing the stories that we have in a way that brings glory to God? Are we sharing the stories we have in a way that uplifts and doesn't bring people down? People ask me how I am, and I'm very honest. Most of you know that, and I'll say, oh, I'm hurting today, whatever. But thank God he's here helping me get through it. How do we share that story in a way that is a recognition of the ministry and the love of Christ within us? I looked over this morning at 9 o'clock, and I saw a young man who most of us recognize, but who most of us really don't know about his story. And this is a young fellow we see around here quite often, playing a guitar, taking and being there. And his ministry is something that we all benefit from. But unless we're around here during the week and see him doing all this stuff, like taking out trash and mopping floors and cleaning up bathrooms, with a smile on his face, and very often, most often, not any harsh words. And that's Bill. William, our maintenance guy. And you will, Bill, you can just kind of, I come in sometimes, I say, hey, I need this for Monday night for scouts, and it's done. Bill shares his story through the labor of love and service. And he doesn't ask. He was kind of embarrassed. I pointed him out this morning, but it was one of those things that the Spirit laid on my heart and said, do this. And I look around here and I go, oh man, there's a bunch of stories. Let's see, there's Vicky and Linda and Jackie and Charles slopping hash on Wednesday nights, but yet making contact with people and sharing their love and giving their story to people to take and encourage them. Oh, boy, I see a bunch of stories here. And that's in itself the amazing thing. We don't always share our story verbally. Greater than being verbal, our story is shared by our actions. John's action was to write a gospel and say, this is what was important about Jesus. And no, I'm not going to bog you down in everything that Jesus did. I'm going to go right to the heart of the matter. Remember, I said 90 to 100 AD, John was an old man somewhere about the time of the Revelation and somewhere in that timeline of his letters and epistles. And in the time of the Revelation, he wrote his gospel and said, this is what is important. This is what you need to know that you may find Jesus Christ. My question is, how do you share your story? How do you share your story in a way that challenges others that they want Christ also? How do you share that story? You share it by your actions. You share it by your words. You share it by when someone is down in the dumps and low and they come across you and it's one of those old Eeyore days from Winnie the Pooh. You can put an arm around them or pat them on the back and say, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. I'm praying for you, stranger on Wednesday night off the street living under the railroad tracks. The bridges, that is, not under the actual tracks. How do you share your story? And when you share it, bring glory to God. I couldn't have got through this without God. I wouldn't be here today if God hadn't protected me and didn't let me get killed in Vietnam or whatever your story is, wherever it goes. And what God has done in my heart, people can't argue with a personal testimony. What you share of your story is what reaches people. What you share of your story with Christ is what reaches people. Because you will share it in enthusiasm, in faith, and in hope. And that's the message of the story. This is what God did for me. This is what through Jesus Christ did for me. This is what through the guidance of the Holy Spirit God led me into or had me do. So like John, and I know there are many seniors in this group besides me, we have a story. And God wants us, the Son, through the strengthening and guidance of the Holy Spirit, wants us to share our story. The challenge is, will you do it? In love and kindness, for the love and kindness that Christ has shown you. Let us pray. Father, you have challenged us as John to focus on what's important. And what is important is sharing the gospel. What is important is sharing our story that others may find you. What is important is sharing that story with our children and our grandchildren and helping them to grow. What is important is to share our story with that person who is disjointed from you, separated from you, that person who's never heard of you. Our story. And each of us have a story of relationship with you and what you've done for us from salvation through sanctification, through outreach and ministry. We all have a story. Help us, Father, to be bold in your spirit to share our stories, to bring glory to the kingdom, in the name of your Son. Amen.